Self-Sacrificing Love, Part 5, Receiving the Golden Oil. I want to go over some statements that will address how to receive the golden oil. The testimony of Jesus says, "The class represented by the foolish virgins are not hypocrites. They have a regard for the truth. They have advocated the truth. They are attracted to those who believe the truth, but they have not yielded themselves to the Holy Spirit's working." Pause. Sometimes in our application of the wise and foolish virgins, we believe that the wise virgins have the truth. The foolish ones do not have the truth, or they do not have access to the truth. But according to the spirit of prophecy, if you are advocating the truth, if you have a regard for the truth, if you like being around those who believe the truth, this means you have some type of access to the truth. You know where to get the truth. You know where the source of truth is found. I don't want us to have the preconceived opinion that the foolish virgins don't have the truth. When we talk about how to receive the golden oil, we know that the oil is truth, but the oil is much more than just a theoretical intellectual knowledge of the truth. Obviously, if that was the case, then they would have the oil. But they don't have the oil. So the oil in relation to the messages of present truth, that is only a portion of the oil. There are other ingredients and components to the oil that they do not have. It tells us here that they have not yielded themselves to the Holy Spirit's work. The purpose of truth is to allow the Spirit of truth to lead us into truth and sanctify us by the truth, so we can reflect the image of Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Quote, "They have not fallen upon the rock Christ Jesus, and permitted their old nature to be broken up. This class are represented also by the stony ground hearers. They receive the word with readiness, but they fail of assimilating its principles." Pause in quote. The parable of the seed on stony ground says that when the sun was up, they are scorched and wither away. If we have not had our old nature broken up, then when the Sunday law arises, it will be seen whether we are in the new nature, the new man, Christ Jesus, or if we are still in the old carnal nature, which represents the nature of the beast, the man of sin, the papacy, that is not subject to the law of God, neither can be, because there is enmity and hatred against that law. They are not surrendered to the principle of self-sacrificing love. Continuing the quote, "Its influence is not abiding. The Spirit works upon man's heart according to his desire and consent, implanting in him a new nature." Pause. Here we see the contrast with the new nature, the image of Christ. The old nature has not been broken up through the work of the Holy Spirit. Continuing, "But the class represented by the foolish virgins have been content with a superficial work. They do not know God. They have not studied His character. They have not held communion with Him. Therefore, they do not know how to trust, how to look and live." Pause. They advocate the truth. They have a regard for the truth. They like being around those that believe the truth. They enjoy the truth for this time made plain upon tables, and they like going to the meetings and being numbered among those that believe present truth. But at the same time, sadly, they do not know God. So it is possible to study the revelations and visions of Jesus Christ, but yet not know him personally. The reason they do not know him is they have not studied his character. We can immerse ourselves in the study of prophecy, knowledge, doctrine, various reforms, and present truth, but still not know God, because in studying all that, we still haven't studied his character. We don't know who God is. It says they have not held communion with him. Therefore, they do not know God. They do not know how to trust, how to look and live. When I consider someone looking and living, I think of the story of the brazen serpent in the wilderness found in Numbers 21:8-9. The people were attacked by serpents as they were murmuring and complaining while traveling through the country of Edom. God told Moses to make a brazen serpent, and he said, "Whosoever looks upon that serpent will live." We know there was no healing power or virtue in the symbol, the brazen serpent on the tree. But according to John 3:14-17, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man was lifted up, so all may look on him and live. When we do look at Jesus Christ, when we do behold him on the cross, there is something that takes place in our old nature and our experience. Zechariah 12:10, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." They have not yielded to the Holy Spirit's working. When you yield to the Spirit of God leads you to Calvary. You look upon him whom your sins have pierced, and you mourn for him. Your heart is broken. This begins the breaking up of the old nature, so the Spirit of God can recreate in us a new nature. When we behold the Lamb of God, our sin is taken away, and also by beholding, we become changed. This is the difference between the wise and the foolish virgins. This difference is not so much in doctrine. I want to make that plain. I believe in our experience we can get proud and lifted up, thinking that somehow and some way we are better because we subscribe to these theological tenets, that we promote these truths. We have camp meetings, sermons, and DVDs. This is our message that we carry everywhere, and so somehow this sets us apart from the foolish virgins in the church. According to the spirit of prophecy, it is not doctrinal truth. It is not the knowledge of prophecy that makes one different. The difference is that the foolish virgins have not yielded to the Holy Spirit's working. Their nature has not been transformed from the old to the new. They don't know God because they do not study his character. They have not had communion with him, so they don't know how to trust, how to look and live. And that can be any one of us. I'm not comparing myself among brethren and thinking I am wise or foolish. If I don't know God and have not studied his character and don't know how to look and live, I am a foolish virgin, no matter what I profess or what I teach. I do not have the oil. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of God leads you to Calvary. You look upon him who was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquity. You allow that sin to be taken away. As you continue to behold the glory of the Lord, as in a glass, you become changed. It is not something that happens overnight. It is something that you have to continually do. We are going to ever be beholding Calvary throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. And as long as we keep our eyes fixed upon Christ and remember his sacrifice, we will be changed into his image by the Spirit of God from glory to glory. This is what the foolish virgins have failed to do. Continuing the quote, "Those who wait for the bridegroom's coming are to say to the people, 'Behold your God.' The last rays of merciful light, the last message of mercy to be given to the world, is a revelation of his character and love. The children of God are to manifest his glory. In their own life and character, they are to reveal what the grace of God has done for them." Christ Object Lessons, page 415. This is the message, behold your God. Can you tell someone to behold someone that you have not beheld? No. So it would be foolish of the foolish virgins to think they can tell someone, behold your God is coming. And yet they have not beheld him on the cross, in the heavenly sanctuary, in his final acts of ministry, in the Day of Atonement, the blotting out of sins. All those that have beheld God in his glory in the glass are changed into that same image from glory to glory by the Holy Spirit of God. Quote, "The last rays of merciful light, the last message of mercy to be given to the world, is a revelation of his character of love. The children of God are to manifest his glory. In their own life and character, they are to reveal what the grace of God has done for them. The foolish virgins cannot give this message, not because they do not know Daniel and Revelation and how to explain the three angels' messages, but because they don't know God and have not studied his character. If you have not thoroughly studied his character and beheld it and had an experience where you are changed into that same image by the Spirit of God, then you are not going to be able to give that revelation of his character of self-sacrificing love. Quote, "The light of the Son of Righteousness is to shine forth in good works, in words of truth and deeds of holiness. Christ, the outshining of the Father's glory, came to the world as its light. He came to represent God to men, and of him it is written that he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, and went about doing good. In the synagogue at Nazareth, he said, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" Luke 4:18-19. This was the work he commissioned his disciples to do. "Ye are the light of the world," he said. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:14-16. Christ Object Lessons 4:16. The message of hope and mercy is to be carried to the ends of the earth. Whosoever will may reach forth and take hold of God's strength and make peace with him, and he shall make peace. No longer are the heathen to be wrapped in midnight darkness. The gloom is to disappear before the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness. The power of hell has been overcome. But no man can impart that which he himself has not received. Christ Object Lessons 4:18. You cannot impart to others what you have not received. It has to be a personal experience. You cannot lean upon the faith and experience of your brethren. We can study together, pray together, we can encourage and provoke one another to love and good works. But at the same time, we have to take the little book and eat it ourselves. We have to go and behold Christ ourselves. We can't behold Christ for each other. We can't take the book and eat for one another. You can stare and watch me eat my plate of breakfast and lunch, and no matter how good I say it is, and you can see the expression and happiness and contentment as I am eating this food, but that can't do anything for you. You have to take it and eat it. I can't eat for you, and you can't eat for me. Quote, in the work of God, humanity can originate nothing. No man can by his own effort make himself a light bearer for God. It was the golden oil emptied by the heavenly messengers into the golden tubes to be conducted from the golden bowl into the lamps of the sanctuary that provided a continuous bright and shining light. It is the love of God continually transferred to man that enables him to impart life. Into the hearts of all who are united to God by faith, the golden oil of love flows freely to shine out again in good works, in real heartfelt service for God. Christ Object Lessons 4:18. We are talking about how to become a bright and continuously shining light. The heavenly messengers are the ones that empty the golden oil into the tubes. Thus the lamps are fed, and when they are shining, it gives light to all. Notice it is the love of God, continually transferred to man, that enables him to impart light. Self-sacrificing love, this abiding principle, this is what allows us to be lights. If this is lacking in us, then our lamps are going out in darkness, and we can't be those watchmen and light bearers. We can walk in the sparks of our own kindling, as it were, but we don't want to do that, because when we see people walking in the sparks of their own kindling, that is strange fire. That is the false fire that apostate Protestantism is able to manifest through the power of Satan. The golden oil. We are going to focus on what the oil is. It is not simply doctrine, knowing the truth or the waymarks, because they know that, advocate that, and believe in that. There is something that the wise have, and the foolish do not. Quote, into the hearts of all who are united to God by faith, the golden oil of love flows freely to shine out again in good works, in real heartfelt service for God. Christ's Object Lessons 4:18. It is the golden oil of love, self-sacrificing love. To get this, you have to study his character. hold communion with Him, so you can know how to trust, look, and live. Quote, "Our precious Redeemer is standing before the Father as our intercessor, and is preparing mansions for all those who believe in Him as their personal Savior. Let those who would meet the divine standard search the Scriptures for themselves, that they may have a knowledge of the life of Christ and understand His mission and work." Youth Instructor, January 16, 1896. Is this why we search the Scriptures, brethren? If we are searching the Scriptures merely to understand Islam and Bible prophecy, and we need to understand this, it is vital because it is connected to the latter rain. If we are searching only to understand what the day of the Lord is or when it comes, or the Sunday law and the close of probation, which we must, but if that is all we are doing, we are putting ourselves in a position where we are not going to receive that golden oil of love. It is clear here that we have to study the Scriptures for ourselves to have knowledge of the life of Christ and understand His mission and His work. If all we are doing is studying to prove our theology correct, and our interpretation of Scripture is sound, and that we're on the platform, if that is all we are doing, then we are not going to know God experimentally. We might know Him theoretically or historically, but we are not going to know Him as a personal Savior from sin and be changed into His glorious image by the Spirit of God. We will still be in our old nature and not have the new nature. Quote, "Our precious Redeemer is standing before the Father as our intercessor and is preparing mansions for all those who believe in Him as their personal Savior. Let those who would meet the divine standard search the Scriptures for themselves that they may have a knowledge of the life of Christ and understand His mission and work. Let them behold Him as their advocate, standing within the veil, having in His hand the golden censer, from which the holy incense of the merits of His righteousness ascends to God in behalf of those who pray to Him. Could they thus behold Him, they would feel an assurance that they have a powerful, influential advocate in the heavenly courts, and that their suit is gained at the throne of God. What an experience may be attained at the footstool of mercy, which is the only place of sure refuge. You may discern the fact that God is back of His promises, and not dread the issue of your prayers, or doubt that Jesus is standing as your surety and substitute. The foolish virgins do not know this." Continuing, "As you confess your sins, as you repent of your iniquity, you can only do this as you go to Calvary and behold the Lamb lifted up for the sins of the world. Christ takes your guilt upon Himself and imputes to you His own righteousness and power. To those who are contrite in spirit, He gives the golden oil of love and the rich treasures of His grace. When you have a contrite spirit, you can receive the golden oil of love. If you are not beholding the Lamb, beholding the Advocate, how can you have a contrite spirit? The foolish virgins never had a contrite spirit." Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." To have a contrite spirit means your heart is broken. Our hearts become broken at Calvary. We have a broken heart because we realize that He died of a broken heart, Our sins crucified him. Our sins broke his heart, and blood and water came out of his side when he was pierced. The foolish virgins never had a broken heart. Psalm 51:7 says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." When the bones or the heart is broken, that is the work of being purged so that your sins and iniquities can be blotted out. He can create in us a clean heart. He can take away the old nature and give us a new nature. If we are not sighing and crying for the abominations, if we are not weeping over our own sins and the sins of others, we are going to be left without the seal of God. We won't receive the golden oil of love. Isaiah 57:15. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." The contrite spirit is a broken heart, but also you are humbled as well. God says he dwells with those of a contrite and humble spirit. What he does for them is he revives them. This is true revival. If our heart is not being broken, and if we are not being humbled and having a contrite spirit, then we are not experiencing true revival. There might be a false excitement like the stony ground hearers. They receive the word and they get all excited. They start rejoicing. But as soon as temptation comes, they fall away because it is not an abiding principle. Self-sacrificing love. So if we are truly being revived by the study of Daniel and Revelation, it is not just the study of the events connected with the close of probation that brings us that experience. Quote, "When the books of Daniel and Revelation are better understood, believers will have an entirely different religious experience. They will be given such glimpses of the open gates of heaven that heart and mind will be impressed with the character that all must develop in order to realize the blessedness which is to be the reward of the pure in heart." Testimonies to Ministers 1:14. True revival is seen in those that have a contrite and humble heart and spirit. To those he gives the golden oil of love and rich treasures of grace. Quote, "It is then that you may see that the sacrifice of self to God through the merits of Christ makes you of infinite value. For clothed in the robe of Christ's righteousness, you become the sons and daughters of God. Those who approach the Father recognizing the bow of promise and ask forgiveness in the name of Jesus will receive their request. At the very first expression of penitence, Christ presents the humble suppliant's petition before the throne as his own desire in the sinner's behalf. He says, 'I will pray the Father for you.'" Youth Instructor, January 16, 1896. Quote, "We should daily obtain a deep and living experience in the work of perfecting Christian character. we should daily receive the holy oil that we may impart to others. All may be light bearers to the world if they will. We are to sink self out of sight in Jesus. We are to receive the word of the Lord in counsel and instruction, and gladly communicate it. There is now need of much prayer. Christ commands, pray without ceasing. That is, keep the mind uplifted to God, the source of all power and efficiency. Testimonies to Ministers 5:10. Quote, we may have long followed the narrow path, the old paths, but it is not safe to take this as proof that we shall follow it to the end. If we have walked in God in fellowship of the Spirit, it is because we have sought him daily by faith. From the two olive trees, the golden oil flowing through the golden pipes has been communicated to us. But those who do not cultivate the spirit and habit of prayer cannot expect to receive the golden oil of goodness, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, and love. Testimonies to Ministers 5:11. That sounds like the fruit of the Spirit, so the golden oil is the Spirit of God. Here it is the fruit of the Spirit. That is what the foolish don't have. Somehow they are thinking, with all my knowledge, all of my doctrine and prophecy and theology, that is the oil. That is not the oil. That is just a portion of it. Without the fruit of the Spirit, that lamp is going to go out. It says that if we are not cultivating the spirit and habit of prayer, prayer life, daily walking with Him, seeking a deep living experience, not being stony ground hearers where the seed does not penetrate the soil but remains on the surface, there is no root, and the sun will scorch such. Quote, God is dishonored when we do not receive the communications which he sends us. Thus we refuse the golden oil, which he would pour into our souls to be communicated to those in darkness. Review and Herald, February 3, 1903. The communications, the messages of God's Spirit definitely compose and are designed to lead us to receive the golden oil of love, the fruit of the Spirit. Quote, when the call shall come, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Those who have not received the holy oil and who have not cherished the grace of Christ in their hearts will find, like the foolish virgins, that they are not ready to meet their Lord. They have not in themselves the power to obtain the oil, and their lives are wrecked. But if God's Spirit is asked for, if we plead as did Moses, show me thy glory, the love of God will be shed abroad in our hearts. The golden oil will be given to us. Review and Herald, February 3, 1903. How do we get it? We have to have the Spirit and prayer. We need to be praying, Lord, show me thy glory. His glory is his name. It is his character. He's merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. If we pray this prayer, show me thy glory, the love of God will be shed abroad in our hearts. Romans 5, 5. When Moses came down from that mountaintop experience, he wasn't the same. His face was shining. It was shining with the glory of God's character and his love. It was the golden oil that he had received. When Moses beheld the righteousness of Christ in the law, he saw the glory of his self-sacrificing love, which is what caused his face to light up. This was the second time Moses had gone up into the mount. The first time he received the law, but when he came down, his face was not lighted up. The second time he went up to receive the law, when he prophesied again, as it were, God began to show him Christ and his righteousness in the law. God was showing him the power by which they could obey and keep the law. When he saw Jesus Christ in that law and his self-sacrificing love, that is what caused his face to shine. This is when he received the love of God, the glory of God, and the oil for his lamp and vessel. The servants of God will also have their faces shining with holy consecration at the loud cry. Quote, servants of God with their faces lighted up and shining with holy consecration will hasten from place to place to proclaim the message from heaven. By thousands of voices all over the earth, the warning will be given. Miracles will be wrought, the sick will be healed, and signs and wonders will follow the believers. Satan also works with lying wonders, even bringing down fire from heaven in the sight of men. Revelation 13:13. Thus the inhabitants of the earth will be brought to take their stand. Great Controversy 88, page 612. It tells us also, when the day and the hour of his coming is announced, quote, soon we heard the voice of God like many waters, which gave us the day and hour of Christ's coming. The living saints, 144,000 in number, knew and understood the voice, while the wicked thought it was thunder and an earthquake. When God spoke the time, he poured upon us the Holy Ghost, and our faces began to light up and shine with the glory of God, as Moses did when he came down from Mount Sinai. Early Writings, page 14. What Moses had received was the golden oil of love, self-sacrificing love. We want to show some practical ways to receive the golden oil, and that this is the difference between the wise and the foolish. If you think it is just the three angels' messages made plain upon tables, that's not it. It's the golden oil of love. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's His glory, and God is showing us how to receive it. Quote, we know that lamps, which give us light, have no light in themselves. They cannot fill themselves. So the holy appointed ones must empty the golden oil into the golden tubes, and the heavenly fire, when applied, makes them burning and shining lights. Our hearts cannot reflect light until there is a vital connection with heaven. This alone can make them burn steadily with holy, unselfish love for Jesus and for all who are the purchase of his blood. And unless we are constantly replenished with the golden oil, the flame will die out. Unless the love of God is an abiding principle in our hearts, our lights will go out. Health Ministry, July 1, 1897. What is it that we are in danger of losing? It's not our doctrines, not our theology, not our prophecy, because for some, Satan is not going to deceive you with new theology. You are not going to give up the 25-20. You are not going to preach the false view of the daily. You are not going to reject the correct understanding of the seven trumpets and the time prophecies. You believe these charts were directed by the hand of the Lord and should not be altered, and are still truth for this time. So many of us are not going to be deceived there. The deception of the foolish virgins is they thought by having these things alone, it constituted them a witness for Christ. It made them a watchman and light bearer because they are bearing light. No, brethren, it says, unless we are constantly replenished with the golden oil, the flame will die out. Unless the love of God is an abiding principle in our hearts, our light will go out. The golden oil is self-sacrificing love, and that is what they don't have.